We're back. It is the Taylor Report. And I want to tell you about this event coming up on June 1st, Friday. It's the Injured Workers Day, and it's at Queen's Park, and it's going to start at 11 in the morning. It's going to run through 4 in the afternoon. There will be a march, and there's going to be a candidate's town hall at 2 o'clock at 100 McCall Street, and that is room 190. Also, on Thursday at Queen, there will be a Queen's Park vigil, and that begins at 7 p.m. with a light dinner, and then the vigil begins at 8, and I assume there'll be speakers and all. The demands of the Injured Workers Day are that there be an end to phantom jobs and a listen to demand that the authorities listen to workers, injured workers, doctors. This is a very old issue. And there be no cuts to due to the concept of pre-existing conditions. Anybody's ever been around the issue and that has had an injured family member or have been injured themselves knows that what these terms are referring to. I can recall that the story from my own father, who was an iron worker at one point in his life, that is, he stood up there on a high steel, many floors above the street. Often I sit up and wake up and think, oh, my gosh, because I couldn't handle that. But at any rate, I remember him telling me the story of being injured, and there was one doctor available that he had to see if he wanted to determine his condition, and he was called the company doctor. And he did see the company doctor, and the company doctor said, you're able to work, and if you don't, it's your tough luck. Things haven't really changed that much. Some of the language has changed, and some of the people that will tell you who give injured workers a hard time, their titles are different. That's often the way power handles challenges. That's what you need to know. Queen's Park, and I have to tell you, we're attempting to reach our friend David Newbury, who is an advocate for the injured workers. We expect we might get him on the line. We don't know at this point. Again, you need to know Friday, June the 1st, Queen's Park, 11 a.m. to 4. There is going to be Injured Workers Day, and there will be a march, and there will also be a candidate's town hall where the questions about phantom jobs, that is where you're sent for something that doesn't exist, and wild goose chase for employment. Anyhow, these issues will be put to candidates, assuming there are candidates that will be there. And that's going to be at 2 p.m. at 100 McCall Street, room 190. I want to tell you, too, you need to know, is that we're having, our membership drive on June the 4th. And Taylor Report will be doing our membership drive on June the 4th at 5 p.m., of course. And there is a grand prize being offered, and that's a trip for two to Quepos, Costa Rica. And it's 6 nights at the Serenity Boutique Hotel in Quepos. And I really urge you, start now. Go to CIUT.FM, mention the Taylor Report, but get your name in, and you have a chance to win this grand prize. And there are other prizes there. So CIUT.FM, go and get all the information. And we'll be doing this, of course, on next Monday. And I think we are joined now by David Newbury. Are you there, David?
I am.
Hey, David, thanks for joining us. We were just going over what's going to happen here on both there's a Thursday night vigil at 7 o'clock. There is a Friday demonstration and march at Queen's Park, both of these things at Queen's Park, one at 7 p.m. Thursday, the other Friday, 11 to 4. And I notice it's highlighting issues. tell us, let's talk about those issues, the end of phantom jobs. What is that to do with?
Well, I mean, when you're injured in Ontario, workers are entitled to compensation for their lost wages. The workers' compensation, or the Workplace Safety and Insurance Board, is responsible for making up 85% of people's lost wages. And it's supposed to go as long as the injury lasts. However, the WSIB recently, since the middle of the 90s, has developed a habit of pretending that injured workers are employed when they're not. The practice is called deeming, and functionally, it means exactly that. The WSIB might look at a construction worker and say, okay, well, you can't do construction anymore, but we still think you could be a Walmart greeter or a parking lot attendant. Mm. Whether or not those are jobs that the worker is actually able to get, and then they'll just deduct what they feel the worker should be making, these phantom wages at these phantom jobs, from their compensation. And ironically, the Liberal government's recent long overdue and well worth it initiative to raise the minimum wage actually ends up hurting injured workers who are deemed, because they are told that they're getting an imaginary raise at their imaginary job, and that is deducted off of the benefits that they're collecting.
So you're punished with a hypothetical situation.
Yeah, you are given a hypothetical raise, and and they consider that your earning power has gone up, whether you've applied to 100 jobs, whether you've been able to get jobs or not. If the WSIB deems that you're able to work, they're going to extract that money from you. So our demand is simply that the WSIB compensates the way that it should, which is for workers' lost wages, not their imagined wages.
Mm-hmm. So you're asking, or I shouldn't say asking, you're demanding they'd get rid of this, and it is a 1960s, 90s legislation. What's the name of that legislation?
The practice is called deeming. The WSIB also calls it determining. I mean, those are just kind of the technical terms for those things. But functionally, they're just imagining that workers are employed when they're not. And we're simply asking, you're right, we're demanding that the WSIB compensates for actual lost wages instead of imagined lost wages.
Yeah. Well, I notice a good initiative. You're also having a candidate's town hall where people who want to be elected in this election should be speaking to some. Are there any politicians reacting? How are they reacting to some of these proposals?
Well, I mean, we have met with over 30 sitting MPPs in the last couple of months to bring these proposals forward. We've been having our petitions read in the legislature. And then we sought feedback from all of the parties on a set of questions. This is going to be published, I believe, tomorrow on injuredworkersonline.org, which is we asked all four major parties a series of questions about their responses to our demands. And we did hear back from the Liberal Party and the NDP and the Green Party. Mm-hmm. And so their responses will be published online tomorrow in a report that's called Where Do Parties Stand on Workers' Comp?
So that's injuredworkers.org.
InjuredWorkersOnline.org.
Online. InjuredWorkersOnline.org.
Mm-hmm. And that's where people can find information on everything that's happening on June 1st, which is Injured Workers' Day, and mm-hmm. as well as all of the – there's campaign materials that can explain to people how they can go about approaching candidates to ask questions about workers' comp and things like that.
Yeah, we're speaking to injured workers advocate David Newbury. David, also, now another one, and this is close to my heart because I've known so many people involved in it with this problem. You're demanding that they listen to workers' doctors.
Absolutely. I mean, this is a sort of insurance industry practice that has been bleeding over into the WSIB over the last number of decades, which is a practice of finding ways to ignore or to minimize the opinions of the workers who know the doctors who know workers best. So people's family doctors, people's immediate specialists, and the WSIB has found a number of ways, some sneaky, some very obvious, of finding ways to minimize the value of the opinions of those treating doctors. They employ nurses on their own staff that will make decisions without ever meeting the worker. They have their own specialty clinics that will often put up opinions that are contrary to the ones that are being offered by the treating physicians of the workers. And the most sort of dastardly one is using what we call paper doctors, which is essentially private for-profit firms that keep a roster of doctors, and they are there's a financial incentive for them to give the WSIB an opinion that they want to hear without ever meeting the worker. They simply read over the medical reports on the file, and they answer the very pointed, very loaded, very biased questions that are asked by the WSIB. And very often, we'll see files that have 3, 4, 5 medical reports from people's treating doctors that say this person is injured and that injury was caused by work. But one report on file from a paper doctor who's never met the worker that says, no, he should probably be healed by now, or this is caused by an underlying condition, or I don't see a connection between the work and the injury, and compensation is then sort of denied or reduced.
Mm-hmm. And he did not see the actual injured worker?
No, it's not at all. No,
strictly paperwork.
Strictly paperwork, and these people
which is
are
compensated. compensated for the paperwork.
It is they are compensated for the paperwork. You know, and in some cases, the WSIB offers incentives. Like, if, for example, if you as a paper doctor or somebody working at a WSIB specialty clinic file a report that says an injured worker can go back to work, you actually get paid more than if you file a report that says the injured worker can't go back to work.
Incentive.
Yeah,
it's, by the way, it's just an echo of my own experience. We had a term in the town I lived. We called them the company doctor.
Right.
But this is sort of like the cousin of the company doctor.
Absolutely.
This is David Newbury. He's an injured worker advocate. And what about this other – this is a term I've always loved, the turning people down based on pre-existing conditions.
Yeah, this is one that has caught a lot of press in the United States during as their sort of healthcare has been developing and undeveloping. But the WSIB has for a long time engaged in a practice of reducing or eliminating people's benefits based on pre-existing conditions, which if, for example, I have a condition of my back that is causing me a lot of problems and then I get injured, it's reasonable that pre-existing condition would be a factor in whether or not I get benefits for or how long I get benefits for. But increasingly, they're using pre-existing conditions that didn't ever cause workers any problems, didn't ever cause them any impairment. And you'll see it often in heavy labor, where people work for many, many years, and that causes what an x-ray technician would call degeneration in somebody's back. Mm-hmm. And then they fall, they get a legitimate injury, and might get a couple of weeks of compensation before the WSIB says, okay, the remainder of your injury is actually caused by a pre-existing condition, and that pre-existing condition they call degeneration, which other people just call aging. So absolutely.
Well, by the way, the employers want you to lift that and push that. Otherwise, you don't get the job. Then you lift it and push it, and they say, and you do that for 5 years, and they say, well, the reason it broke down, you've been doing that for 5 years. Yeah, that's right.
Absolutely.
You wanted me to do it. I don't, you know. They treat the language appropriate is they treat an ordinary working class person like a suspect.
Yes, absolutely.
You know. They've been there. We know they were employed because they're asking for some compensation for their injury. So they've been working. But all of a sudden, there's these magical phrases. And once they get in people's mouths, they cause a lot of damage.
Absolutely. And that's been part of the kind of shift over the last number of decades of shifting from a system which looks to allow, which looks to assist workers, which looks to compensate them for their wages, to one, it was Mike Harris who actually renamed it to the Workplace Safety and Insurance Board rather than Compensation Board. And it's been just shifting towards more insurance-based principles, which are oriented around looking at injured workers as financial risks to the system, instead of human beings who have been injured and are entitled to compensation for the wages that they're losing.
Mm-hmm. But people, since we are in the election season, there was a lot of this legislation called Harris, with the name Harris on it, that we've mm-hmm. We've had to live with a long time.
Yeah,
and it takes it's really like trying to remove a rusty nail to get back to a human condition. Actually,
absolutely.
This is David Newbury, advocate for injured workers. Well, let's talk again about so. What's going to happen at the vigil? There's going to be a vigil on Thursday at 7 o'clock.
Yes, so that the vigil on Thursday at 7 o'clock has gone back a number of years, and it's operated by a group of injured women, of women who are injured at work, that that meets monthly, called the Women of Inspiration. And they put together a bit of a, it's like a cultural event, a little bit of a celebration, but also a somber sort of vigil-oriented event. So at 7 o'clock, we got people to show up, and the South Asian Women's Rights Organization is serving a very delicious dinner to anybody who is interested. And then there's a bit of a cultural program, which will involve some original music by injured workers and poems being read, as well as some performative music and some sing-alongs and those type of things. And people are encouraged to stay as late as they would like. Quite often, some injured workers stay overnight at the park and then are there to greet the folks who are showing up at the rally in the morning.
That's great. This is the season to do that.
Yes, absolutely.
It's not always General's not always that friendly with this weather. This candidate's town hall, what do you envision happening there? 100 McCall Street at 2 p.m., room 190.
That is exactly what it sounds like. We've invited representatives from every party. We've had we don't know for sure who exactly which parties will be attending, but all the major parties have been invited, and we've got some questions that the moderator is going to ask them that are just drawn from the questions we've already asked the parties. But we will also be inviting anyone who is in attendance to submit questions in writing as they arrive at the door, that then will be asked to whichever candidates are there to whichever candidates value the time and the opinion and the votes of injured workers enough to show up will be the ones who will have the opportunity to explain what it is that they will or won't do.
Mm-hmm. There's, of course, injuredworkersonline.org is the place person can get all the information of the type we're talking about now, right?
Mm-hmm.
And on Friday, there are people being asked to gather at 11, and it's going... The overall time frame is 11 to 4. And so describe what do you think is going to take place there?
Well, it's a pretty exciting year for us. I mean, the workers' compensation and the problems with the WSIB have been in the media more than they have in the past over the last couple of years. And, of course, there's an election in just a couple of days after this event. And we're kind of calling on all folks from the labor community, all folks from progressive communities, all folks of the health and safety movement. This is the last labor rally taking place at Queen's Park before the election. And so we're asking people to meet there at 11 a.m. Mm-hmm. And we're going to have just a few words being said by some friends of ours from the movement directly, as well as our allies in labor and in the 15 and fairness movement and in anti-poverty movements. Mm-hmm. And all those kinds of things. Just a few speakers up there, and then we're going to march as a whole down University Avenue to the Ministry of Labor, where we'll be delivering the message there that, you know, whoever it is that is going to operate the government of Ontario is going to hear from injured workers. And we're very privileged this year to have support from our brothers and sisters in CUPE, who will be marching from their provincial convention to greet us.
CUPE, is going to join you?
Yes.
That's terrific.
Yeah, absolutely. This was something that started last year, and they agreed to schedule their provincial conference around the same time as ours. And so they'll be marching in from the east, from one of the hotels where they're having their conference, and we'll be marching south and all arriving down at at the Ministry of Labor around 2:15. where we're going to have, again, some original music by injured workers, some conversations from other people who have been affected.
Ministry of Labor is where exactly, roughly?
It's still on University, and it's just down a little bit, I think around Dundas.
Okay, Dundas and University.
Yeah, so it's a short walk, but also we understand that there are people who are not able to join the march. So we've got a bus that is accessible that people will be able to get on if they're not able to make the walk down, that the bus will join right in with the rally.
Yeah. Well, David Newbery, we're very glad you could talk to us, and we wish you luck with this, the Injured Workers Day, and really glad to hear that CUPE's going, and it's injuredworkersonline.org. Thanks again.
Thank you so much, Phil.
Okay, bye-bye. It's David Newbery, advocate for the injured workers, and go to their site. I just told you, injuredworkersonline.org. And their march is, of course, June 1, Friday, 11 to 4, and there's all the extra things you can find out about online. Remind you now that next Monday, June 4, we will be having our membership drive, which was a pleasure to do, and to tell you that you can go right now to CIUT.fm and remember the Taylor Report, and they will ask you about that. And if you take out a membership, you have a chance for the grand prize, and it's a trip for two to Quepos, Costa Rica. It's 6 nights at the Serenity Boutique Hotel in Quepos. So go to CIUT.fm and, of course, mention the Taylor Report. And there's all the other information. There's other prizes. And we hope that you'll be with us next week. And we want you to, of course, build the station. And the way to do that, go to CIUT.fm. And you can start contributing now and becoming a member. I want to thank Tebby and Jessica and... we have some good news from Braden. We'll tell you all about that next week. And this is Phil Taylor for the Taylor Report. See you next week.